Radio. Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Good morning. 7:05. It's Monday, December the 13th. Well, I know November. November just disappeared. December 13th. 12 more days. 12 more days.
I'm not ready.
Yeah, Christmas. Hey, it's Carl and Linda Bott. You know, Linda has, you know, it's kind of a man's blessing, but also a curse.
Do not go there.
She has lost her voice. She was sitting this morning. It started yesterday, and this morning she is kind of croaking. And it's like, wow, I can't hear you, honey. And then, but we've got a radio show. I mean, oh, my God. So she's, you know, she was croaking at me, writing me notes, and sending me emails. So that's about it. Anyway, we miss you, hon. Of course, we're always joined by Bad Bob.
And good morning. A huge shout-out to the residents of Mad River, California, for their hospitality over the weekend. We had a great time.
Well, I am glad you did. Where's Mad River?
Well, Mad River's way down in the right over the border into Humboldt County from Trinity County, and since it's the off-season, it was a nice time to go there. But we were hosted by the volunteer fire chief there, Jack Branham, and beautiful place and just some gorgeous country. We had a great time.
Well, let's do a shout-out. As long as we're doing shout-outs, let's do a shout-out to Gene and Karen. We met them. Fans of the show, we met them Friday night out at Ensemble's. So I had a real nice conversation with them. Nice, nice people. Long-time residents here. So thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. Really nice meeting you all, and thanks so much for listening. Okay, let's rock here, Bob. You know what else happened this weekend that was just great? Rees Across America.
Was going to ask you about that.
That was great. There was a lot of people there, a lot of young people. What they did was a number of young people from elementary school, middle school, high school, volunteered to research some of the fallen that are buried out there at IGO. And then they gave they read their bios to the people, to everybody out there. It was really touching. And it was something from the heart you could tell from these kids. And then, of course, everybody had an opportunity then to take a wreath and put it on a headstone out there. And it was amazing. A lot of people, heartfelt. And I hope that this never goes away. I hope that feeling we have out there and the things that we hear and see out there will never go away. In the North State, it's another reason why this place is such a great place to live and you know, you just enjoy the community. Okay, today we've got a big day. Today we've got Mike Mangus coming in from Channel 7. He's going to talk about what it's been like to be in TV all this time. We've got a number of other things, including Patrick Jones, city councilman, has said maybe it's time for us to become a charter city. We want to talk about that. Of course, they found the young lady on Saturday, the one that's been missing for over a month, Marie Berlinghoff, and found her down, from what I understand, in San Francisco, that her cousin, of all things, her cousin, saw her. We're going to talk a little bit about that, and we're going to talk about, it looks like Stockholm, Sweden, the home of peace, was attacked by terrorists. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott, 7/12, December the 13th, 2010. You know, we're rapidly running out of this year, too, besides just this month and it's Christmas. We're rapidly running out of year. Then it'll be 2011, damn. Hey, Bob, you're going to be like, what, 60 this year?
No, I'm still a ways from that. You've already achieved that particular milestone.
I'm going to cross 30. I'm going to cross 30 this year. Linda's got no voice right now, so that's where she is, but we're going to miss her. Okay, some of the things that are happening. It looks like the Senate's going to vote on Obama's tax package. And they said they're going to move today, and they're going to approve President Obama's deal with Republicans to extend the expiring tax cuts, even for the wealthiest Americans. They say they had the needed 60 votes and 100 member Senate to clear the hurdle. And the number two Democrat in the Senate said the Democrats should eat their spinach and accept the deal because their influence will plummet when the new Congress convenes next month. I find that very interesting. Of course, when you do this, with some of the new deals that Obama has said is that if you look at the front page of the Record Search Ledger, Social Security now is having a problem thinking, well, you know, he's making a cut in that, so you have to have more take-home pay, but that could hurt the funding for Social Security. You know, everything is just linked together so much like this. Is that, okay, let's make a change here and we'll have a change there. You know, we're getting into the, you know, last week it was the gray wolves fight. Do we need to reintroduce gray wolves back into California? You know, the Fish and Game Department says, no, we don't need to do that. And then, you know, Herger signs a bill with a bunch of other, or a number of other Western state representatives that said, you know, let's take them off the endangered list. They're not endangered anymore. Besides the fact that, you know, the ones in the Yellowstone area, which in the big lawsuit was, is saying is when they were reintroduced was they were not native to the area. These were all Canadian gray wolves because the others have been eradicated. I think that's kind of like, that's getting pretty tight with definitions. But the bottom line is this, is, you know, here we go, as everything's got, is every move that Congress does has such an impact on something else. The if they vote for the tax relief, you know, to sustain the Bush tax cut for 2 years, we need that. At the same time, if they don't do something about this new health, you know, about the new health care law, it's going to hammer people. So, you know, it's a type of thing that our representatives let themselves get rushed into things at times, our senators, unless or maybe that they don't get rushed into it. Maybe this is something they want. Maybe they want. Many of them want the government to take care of us the rest of our lives from the time we're born. In fact, okay, let's get going on this one. They just talked about extending the free lunch program to people. Extending the free lunch program to students. Wait a minute. Excuse me and explain to me, please, where does the term free lunch come in? That's not a free lunch. It's free to those kids. It's free to their families. It's not free to the taxpayers. So where is it free? Have you ever heard the term, there's no such thing as a free lunch? Wrong! We're giving them in schools. And it's more than that. It could be, you know, it's free lunches. They're talking about breakfast and now dinners. Free lunch. It's not free. How about subsidized dining? How about government-provided dining? And get away from this free thing. You know, somebody said the other day they were in a clinic. And this girl came in, and she was talking, and they said she looked like she was 12 with her baby. And she talked about, oh, gosh, you know, her child has this, you know, it had something wrong with the child, which is very unfortunate. But she said, no, now we get free medical care. You know, little girl, it's not free.
Yeah.
Nothing's free. And every time I hear the term free, it upsets me. It's like, the only thing free, okay, if you want to really get down to it, you turn on the radio, you want to listen to the radio, you listen to the show, it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. You have to listen to me. You have to listen to Bob and the rest of the gang, but that's free. But it's not free putting it on. It is sure not free putting on the shows and keeping it running and keeping it going. So, but every time, when I just heard that, you know, on the news today, they're talking about the free lunch programs, you know, is expanded. It just, you know, when every time you look into your wallet, there's where your free is.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, Sweden, Stockholm. A Middle East-born man who died in a blast in Stockholm was wearing an explosives belt and likely intended to attack a crowded train station or department store when the device went off prematurely. Perhaps he moved his finger over the button. Perhaps he took his finger off the button. Who knows what he did? But what it is, the man had been well equipped with explosives, including the belt, and he assumed the man had accomplices as the attack was well planned. A car containing gas canisters blew up in a busy shopping area on Saturday afternoon, followed minutes later by the blast nearby. Okay, the thing about this is, Middle Eastern man. And his name was Abdul Wahab. born in 1981, became a Swedish citizen in 1992, and came from a Middle Eastern country, those unclear which. Many reports said that Abdul Wahab came from Iraq. That right several minutes before the blast, the Swedish news agency received a threatening letter criticizing Sweden's troops in Afghanistan, caricatures of Prophet Muhammad drawn by a Swedish cartoonist, and which spoke of a Middle East trip for jihad. Okay. That to me sounds like a terrorist act.
Mm.
It sounds to me like it's somebody that was born in the Middle East with that name. They've identified him. He was laying on the ground and was inside route. The thing about it is, what are they going to do about it? What are people going to do about it? Is this something, you know, the Stockholm has come out and the Swedes have said, let's not overreact to this. Okay, let's not overreact to this. You just had a terrorist attack for the first time on your soil. So what are you going to do about it? This is, you know, this was something that was coming. You could see it coming for years because of what had happened with the cartoons that caused mass rioting throughout the world because somebody had drawn a caricature of Muhammad, which caused a lot of problems. You know, you don't see that problem in the United States. You don't see our Muslim community rioting because of a cartoon.
Could happen.
It could happen, Bob. But I don't think so. I don't think that would happen here in the United States. I don't see the rioting like that. I know that there's been, you know, been incidents and things like that. But anyway, Sweden, the home of the Peace Prize, the Nobel Peace Prize, all the other Nobel Prizes coming through there, I believe. Is that right? Yeah, I think it's through Stockholm. Anyway, hey, we got to take a break. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio right here in KCNR 1460 at 7:23 in the morning. Good morning. It is currently 48 degrees out there. Going to have rain likely this afternoon. High of 58. Chance of precipitation is about 60%. It's foggy out there today.
Very.
Bob just almost didn't make it in on time.
Airport road was socked in. I could see about 50 feet. So this guy pulls up behind me and starts flashing his lights, wanting to pass on a double yellow. It's like, okay. So I actually let him by and figured I could dodge all the debris field.
Well, tomorrow looks like a chance of rain, 80% chance of rain. Wednesday it's going to start kind of tapering down. Thursday should be okay. And Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, back in the rain again. So we're above average right now with our water, which I guess is okay. You know, over the weekend, Patrick Jones said he thinks it's a good idea if we become a charter city. Charter city gives cities power to set their own rules or salaries, benefits, public contracts. What it is then you'd have an elected mayor and an elected city council, and they would be paid whatever the city sets. Right now, Reading is a general law city bound by state government code in all local matters. And the mayor is largely ceremonial, rotating each year among council members. When you have a charter city, you can set your own rules and salaries, benefits, public contracts, zoning, and other municipal affairs, and you don't have to go right by what the state says. Jones wants to see Reading adopt a charter giving elected officials greater oversight at City Hall. Now, what Mayor Jones, or formerly Mayor Jones, has said to me and to others is that so many times decisions are made that the city council ends up rubber stamping because they are not there all the time. That's what they have the staff there for. One of the questions that begs itself to be asked is, okay, if the city council and the mayor are there full time, then who is, how many staff members can be discarded at that point? I shouldn't say discarded, but those positions could be eliminated if you've got extra staff members to be handling things that a city council should be doing. Or how many more members to the community do you add, because does each city council member need an assistant then? Well, probably. Does the mayor need an assistant? Probably. So that's so those are questions there. I'm not sold on this. On the other hand, the council members right now receive $600 a month. And they do, I would say, at least as much work as the county supervisors, if not more. So, hey, let's go to the phones. Nielsen, good morning.
Good morning, and congratulations on the anniversary, my friend Carl and Linda. Thank you for your good service to the North State.
Well, thank you there. Thank you. You've beaten everybody there, Sliman. You know, tomorrow morning. We've talked about it several times.
Well, I keep up on it, and I want you to know that I consider what you do, your radio show, particularly the timeliness of this anniversary, a Christmas gift to the folks of the North State that lives on year-long. Carl, you and Linda give the individuals a voice that they'd otherwise lack, being able to call in on your show, an opportunity through your guests to learn. Listeners learn from listeners as they call in. So it's a real gift, and thank you for your dedication to doing it.
Well, you know, thank you so much, Jim. You've been very supportive of us through this whole year, and the fact that you've done a lot for our state, for us up here in the North State. You know, you have continued your leadership role. One of the things when I asked you about it the other day was, we got to take a break here in just a second, was the fact that with the Democrats controlling everything, what happens now?
And you press on. I've been there by my whole career with Democrats being in the majority, and, you know, you just deal with it. And I've worked with Governor Brown before as well, and I still believe that you can be very effective. I have no doubt about it. I think that when you're in the minority, you learn how to be even more effective, Carl.
Well, you know, that's what you had said. You know, you said that now's the time for leadership to step up, and because now it's going to be even tougher, and now you have to show, you know, even now it's tougher than it was before, and that now it's time for the people to get working even harder.
And you have the respect of your colleagues. You build relationships. You agree where you can, and where you have to have a healthy disagreement, do it in an agreeable manner that doesn't burn the bridges for tomorrow's battles and resolutions.
Well, we sure appreciate your phone call, and like I said, the support you've given us during this year.
A very Merry Christmas to everybody. Let's pray for a very happy season, and wonderful news the night before last about Jean-Marie coming home. I was so delighted to get Jake's call, her father's call. That's an answer to prayer, Carl.
Well, it is, and it's one of those things that was meant to be. That's for sure. I mean, just being spotted like that. So yeah, it is. It's a welcome Christmas present to the family.
Well, thank you all, and we enjoyed Linda's beautiful voice at the Republican Women's Tea a week ago Saturday too.
She enjoyed seeing that. Her voice is gone today, and that's where she's at. She's croaking.
Well,
hey, sir, we got a break. Merry Christmas, and thanks for the phone call.
You bet. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. KCNR 1460, it's Carl and Lindebaugh. Good morning. It's 7:34, December the 13th. And Simulman Jim Nielsen called in he's always ahead of the ball here. But tomorrow is our one-year anniversary of being on the air. We lit it up 1 year ago tomorrow. Well, we'll talk about that. Linda is not here because she has no voice. And when you have no voice and you croak, it's not really, it's not conducive to being on radio. I mean, she can, you know, hit me and those kind of things, you know, but that's about it.
But I presume she did just fine at the Veteran Cemetery?
It was absolutely beautiful. She started having problems that morning, but her voice was perfect. Everybody just loved it. And then you could just see it getting worse and worse that night. And then she woke up Sunday. And she's still trying, still hanging in there, and then it just quit.
You know, maybe she was never in the service, but I would call her a trooper.
She is. She's not going to, you know, never let a performance go by. Hey, today, right now, it's 48 degrees, or 46 degrees, and it's going to be a high today of 58. Looks like we're going to have rain during the day. We got fog right now, and it's going to be a lot of rain tonight. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite right off Airport Road. I know they're getting ready to move to another place closer in. But Doug Tooley and his guys put in Dish Satellite. They've got deals right now where you can get free Dish Satellite with HD for using their rebates. just give them a call at 244-1988. We've got people calling in and telling us that they've switched over, and they're very happy with that, or they're switching over to Doug's service. Doug's a local guy who's made good. You give him a phone call at 244-1988. He answers, or Heather answers, but you get somebody here. That's somebody that lives here, has lived here his whole life. That's B&T Satellite. Okay. Our next guest. Our first guest of the morning, I guess. Jan Blood. Good morning, Jan. I'm grabbing all the stuff that you do and trying to get all my bio stuff here. You're with the Shasta Senior Nutrition Programs.
Good morning, Carl. Thanks for having me today. Yes, that's correct. I'm an AmeriCorps Vista volunteer, and my job site location is Shasta Senior Nutrition.
Okay, now there's just a lot of different things that the Shasta County, Shasta Senior Nutrition Programs do.
Yes, we're kind of like a one-stop shop for your senior community. We have senior transportation, our dining center, Meals on Wheels. We have a brown bag program. We distribute USDA commodities, and we also have an emergency food program.
Okay, now you've got a lot of volunteers working in this.
We do. We have over 300 volunteers that work at our site.
And you can just do about anything, right, as a volunteer?
That's correct. We have job or volunteer opportunities that are endless. We have folks that work in the kitchen. We have volunteers that work in our gift shop. We have volunteers that actually serve the meals at lunchtime. We have volunteer Meals on Wheels drivers. We have lots and lots of volunteers that work in our food bank. They do the distributions at different locations. Lots of volunteer opportunities.
Okay, now, you all helped at the dining centers. You all helped a lot of people last year. And I'm just looking here, and it says that you served, in an average year, you all serve more than 72,000 meals.
That's correct. We have the three dining centers. We have our main dining center at the nutrition program site at 100 Mercy Oaks Drive. And then we have one at the John Baudet Center in Shasta Lake City. And we will have one at the Frontier Center in Anderson. We also have one in Burney. They have their own kitchen up there. But we are the main kitchen for those other satellite facilities.
Okay. See, the Shasta Senior Program has been around, nutrition program has been around since 1979. So that's not one, something that's just started in the last 3 or 4 years.
Here. No, we've been around for quite some time.
I think I've heard about Meals for Wheels for as long as I can remember.
Meals on Wheels is a very, very special program to my heart. We serve, right now, we currently have 250 recipients of the Meals on Wheels program in our area. We have a frozen route, which is, the food is like a frozen meal, and they're delivered 14 at a time. It's for a two-week period. We have volunteer drivers who do that for folks that live in outlying areas that we can no longer do on a regular basis due to, of course, the increased price of gasoline and budget cuts and different things that have kept us a little bit more limited. But we do, in this particular area, serve over 250 recipients every day.
Wow. Okay, we've got a few more things to cover here. But, you know, anything from emergency food to the brown bag program, all that. Mm-hmm. We've got to take a quick break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Jan Blood from the Shasta Senior Nutrition Program. Join us after these messages. Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. On KCNR 1460, Carl and Linda Bott. 7:43 in the morning, December the 13th, 2010. It's going to be a rainy day. You know, the weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Linda was up there Friday night. They had a great Friday night. You know, her band that she has, Dan Kinkle and Johnny Gonzalez and Bruce Kalen. And then Rick Hill was up there, and Candice Lavosi playing the harp. And when they start, I know it's hard to believe, but when they start jamming with harps and everything, it was great. Everybody had a great time. It's a great destination up there in Somos. Hey, our guest today is Jan Blood and the Shasta Senior Nutrition Programs. Let's talk about your facility out there, Jan.
We have a beautiful, beautiful campus, and I'd really like to invite people to come out, especially this time of year. Of course, it's always gorgeous, but our dining room manager, Janice, has done an exceptional job decorating for Christmas this year, as she always does, with the help of all of her little elves, all of her little volunteers. I don't know how many trees she's got up this year, probably 10, 12. I've lost count. But it is gorgeous. You know, and we rent our property out there, weddings, graduations, Christmas parties, anything. And we do have a beautiful, beautiful property. We have a lot of weddings out there because of our outdoor back patio area. And, of course, we have a full-service kitchen, one of the largest full-service kitchens available for rent along for your event. So come out and give us a look-see. Come out and have some lunch with us. It's a suggested donation for persons 60 and over of $3. However, no one's ever turned away for the inability to not be able to pay.
So, see, Bob, you don't have to pay $1.50 since you're over 70.
Only on certain mornings.
It sounds like the facility is really really does so much for so many people.
It really does. We have we just have a great group of people that attend. Again, our volunteers that are there, they're so loyal and dedicated to the programs. You see them there almost every single day. It's a wonderful group of people.
Great. Now, you have also emergency food programs.
Correct. On the first and third Friday of every month, we have an emergency food program. You must show proof of an address, some kind of an identification. And you're only allowed to attend one of those per month. So you can come out. There's all kinds of a variety of food that comes in. We get food in from the Food Link organization in Sacramento.
Uh-huh. You know, when you do this, it's not something that happens all the time, and but you also give information on nutrition, budgeting, cooking, things.
That's correct. We do have those informations. We send out pamphlets and different information that we get from some of our other organizations like Public Health or UC Davis, those kind of people that help with the education part of it.
Okay. My last thing I wanted to talk about here, well, two things really. Senior transportation, you get people back and forth?
We do. We have, they request a 24-hour notice, and it's $1.50 fee each direction. So you can call up if you need to go to the doctor or something like that. Give us a call, 226-3067, and I can hook you up with the right people.
Wow. Okay, so you get people back and forth. Now we've got somebody who wants to talk about the facility there. Hey, Jay, good morning.
Good morning. How y'all doing today?
We're doing fine. Linda's voice is gone, but the rest of us are okay.
She's singing her heart out, right?
Yeah.
Well, gotta lose your voice. At least it was for a good cause. you know, I love that facility. I've been to three weddings there, and one of them was mine. And it is a very nice place. The kitchen's fantastic. Plenty of room. The fountain in the back makes for great wedding pictures. It's just a really, really nice place. I just wanted to put in my 2 cents when I heard you all talking about the facility. I'm very impressed by it. I think, frankly, it's the best place in town if you're going to go for a wedding or a party or something like that.
Well, thank you for making a comment on that. Of course, I think it's a fantastic place as well.
You're somewhat prejudiced, but...
just a little bit.
Well, you can do. You know, this is interesting because you can get how many people can you put in there?
Roughly 300.
About 300.
And that's
people.
About what we had. Yeah.
You had 300 and people at your wedding.
Yeah. My mother had 7 siblings, and my wife is Mexican. Need I say more?
Oh, okay. All right. So
family.
Large family. 300
yeah.
people.
Wow.
Jay.
That's awesome.
They're everywhere. I close my eyes, throw a rock, I hit a family member or a in-law. They're everywhere. But anyway, I just wanted to put in my 2 cents. It's a fantastic place, and I just hope that y'all keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Jay, thanks for your phone call. Okay, hey, Jan, any last thoughts here about the facility, about the Shasta Senior Nutrition Program? You've always got a voice here. If you're trying to do things, too, just let us know. We'll make sure people know. It's a good thing that you do.
Well, I'm very proud of the work that everyone does out there. And like I said, we couldn't do it, of course, without our volunteers. But they're loyal and dedicated. But most importantly, we serve a lot of people, a lot of great programs that we have out there. And it's just a great fun place to be, actually. We have a lot of fun every day. We have music every day. We play bingo Mondays and Wednesdays. We have dancing out there, all kinds of fun stuff.
In fact, we've got people chatting, and you can chat with us, of course, on KCNR1460.com. Your trumpet player says to say hi.
All right, hi.
On Wednesday mornings, I think.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
From your Wednesday morning music.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jan Bled, thank you so much for coming in here and telling us about the Shasta Senior Nutrition Programs. If there's anything else, that you all ever need to get out in the air, make sure you give us a call.
I will, Carl. Thanks so much for having us.
Well, thank you for what you do. Wait a minute, one more time, what's the phone number to how to get a hold of you?
Okay, you can give me a call at 226-3067, and I can hook you up wherever you need to, whomever you need to speak with.
226-3067. 3067. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. When we come back, I want to finish up on this Charter City. Good idea, bad idea? How much is it going to cost? What kind of study is going to be done on it? Anyway, join us after these messages. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, 7:53 in the morning, December the 13th, 2010. Good morning. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Greatest walk-in humidor in the state. And Espresso Joe's serves you coffee in so many different ways. Girls will fix it up for you. You're looking for presents for Christmas? You can get gift certificates there, but you can get all types of coffee, special coffees for Christmas, or you want to surprise your loved one with that cappuccino machine or a French press machine on how to make coffee. And not only can you buy it there, they'll show you how to use it so that you'll get that perfect cup of coffee at Espresso Joe's. Joe and Shelley do a lot for our veterans, a lot for our community. It's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. What up, Bob?
I was just admiring the great energy that lady had. I mean, she walks in the room and there's like energy crackling around her. She's just a walking dynamo. And also, I was going to mention that I love French press coffee. I just can't deal with the mess afterwards. I'd rather have somebody else make it. But that's just me.
That's just you. Okay, let's go back to Charter Cities here. It started with Mayor Jones, or formerly Mayor Jones, Patrick Jones, wanting to have a study made about charter cities. Jones said that they could base salaries comparable to Shasta County supervisors, which are like $53,000 this year. I find that interesting. And we've already kind of addressed that point. Jones said that could easily be made up by the savings you can make by truly looking at the different aspects of city government and understanding all the facets of city government and what goes on there. He says a hands-on council and independent mayor would better control spending. Vice Mayor Dick Dickerson said he strongly opposes the charter, having already given the issue considerable thought. It doesn't make any sense to go in that direction, particularly if your motivation is to go to a full-time paid council. He said it's time-consuming, setting it up, certain groups could dominate. Yeah, that's true. That's true, Vice Mayor. However, that's not that's just because it takes time to set something up. If it works for the community, then, that argument goes away. The question is, will it work for the community? Missy MacArthur says she likes the fact that all five council members have an equal voice. Then she would need far more information, including how charters and independently elected mayors work for comparable communities. And if you want to look at some of the, by the way, this is in the Record Searchlight, and a few northern and central California charter cities, their population and annual salary show is that Roseville, who's got $112,000, their council salary is $7,000 a year. Merced is... 840, Merced. What are you laughing about, Bob? Because they augment
chat room.
Oh, they augment it with something else. Okay, the Napa, the mayor makes $29,000 a year, and goes on and on. $53,000 a year seems like a lot, But I don't think that the amount of money is really that important to what Jones is saying. He wants to see a city, city council and a mayor that actually knows what the heck's going on. That he says so many times things have been passed because nobody's had a chance to look at it because they've got other jobs, and which they make their living off of. Of course, some of them are retired on the council, but you shouldn't just have retired people on the council. Anyway, that this way that they can go and they can look at every subject and topic and division of city government.
I would be in support of this if we had checks and balances and transparency to avoid a situation like Bell, pardon me, like Bell, California. Was that not a charter city that could set their own salaries and look what happened there?
Well, that's one of the questions. But see, you know, that only works if there's no media out there. And between the Record Searchlight and the radio stations and the TV stations, you know, Bell, California had no media that looked at it. And the first time they did, everybody was just, of course, appalled by it. But to look at charter cities, yeah, I think that maybe we ought to take a look at it, but I think there's a lot of questions that need to be asked and answered before, you know, you go in that direction. We'll get Patrick Jones on here one day and we'll see about that. See what else. The other thing, our guest for our next hour is a well-known personality here in town, Mike Mangus, head of all the news for News Channel 7. He's up back there, he's shaking his head, he's standing outside. We'll get him in here right after the news. One other thing that happened, it was kind of, let's go to the phones. We only got like 30 seconds left. Gary.
Well, real quickly, Charter City, does it mean that we have to elect council members by district? So they'd all represent the whole city. But the biggest thing with the charter city was the people would be able to have to document what they want to do. One thing is all union contracts would have to be ratified by the vote of the people.
Hmm.
San Francisco does that, if I'm not mistaken. And that's another way. So to talk about Bell, California, a charter city or any form of government is only as good as the people you elect.
No, yeah, and I know. I didn't bring up Bell City, Bob, because to me, if a city lets itself get to there, and there's something so abysmally wrong that, you know, that they probably deserve part of it. Okay, look, hey, Gary, we got a break for the news. Thanks for calling.
You bet.
Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. It's December the 13th. It's 8:05 in the morning. It's 48 degrees. It's going to be rainy later on today, according to the news I saw today on News Channel 7. You're probably wondering why I mentioned it, except our guest is here, Mike Mangus from News Channel 7, and we're going to get to him in just a second, but we've got somebody on the phone. Elizabeth, good morning.
Good morning. How are you folks today?
Fine. Hey.
Good. Well, listen, I'll make this quick because I know you've got a guest. Just wanted to let everybody know what we're doing at the Reading Tea Party tonight. As always, 6 o'clock at the Bonneview Baptist Church. Tonight, Patrick Jones from the Reading City Council is going to come talk to us about the possibility of a charter city. And for those that are not aware of what that is, a city can be either a general law or a charter city. When you're a general law city, which Reading currently is, the state mandates a lot of what you do and a lot of fees and salaries and that type of thing. With a charter city, the city actually has a little more control over how it's run. It has a little more, it's a little more sovereign, if you will. But there are pros and cons to both. So it's a pretty good topic, and it can really determine the direction that a city takes. So I encourage people to come out tonight.
Okay, Elizabeth, and that's at 6 p.m. out on Bonneview, right?
That's correct.
The Baptist Church on Bonneview, the Reading Tea Party. Okay. Hey, thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. That's an interesting topic that we'll be talking about later on. We'll be talking about it earlier today, and we'll be talking about it later on this week. But let's go to our guest. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Carl. Thanks for having me today.
Well, you know, it's we've been wanting to do this. We like to get people on the show that have an impact on the community. And we've had anywhere, I mean, we've had every politician that you can imagine. We've had people that in charge of organizations, everything. And then, and you think about who are other people that have impacts on our community, and the media does. I mean, you can't help it. We've had Silas Lyons on. We've had, you know, the number. And then, but, you know, I honestly watch your show. I watch Channel 7 in the morning when I get up, and then I watch it in the evenings. And who else could we have on except members of your station here and you?
Well, thank you for watching. We appreciate that very much. And I don't know that I have a great impact other than I try to just be the conduit of the story. I like to tell stories, so I just try to tell the story and let people decide for themselves what they want to decide about whatever the topic is.
Well, that's that right there is refreshing. It just let people figure it out what happens just from the story. Okay, we're going to get into that. So we're going to take a quick break now. When we come back, we're going to talk about you and talk about TV and where it's been and what you see where it may be going.
Man, I don't know. Thanks.
Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda is absent today with no voice.
Uh-oh.
I know. I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, that she can't tell me maybe a couple of the things that I do that may be incorrect. But on the other hand, this is a radio show. What good does it do if you don't have somebody that can talk? December the 13th. 11 in the morning. It's going to be kind of rainy today. And here our guest is Mike Mangus from KRCR TV.
News Channel 7.
News Channel 7.
For veteran listeners, it would be 7R. We were called 7R for many years.
And
you can tell people who have been in the community for a long time if they'll refer to us as 7R.
Okay. Well, tell us about Mike Mangus.
Next topic. What do you want to know? Gosh, well, I grew up here. I grew up here, loved the area, loved my job, and I'm not saying that in the chance that the general manager of my station is listening. I really do love my job. I'm the luckiest guy on the face of the earth to steal from Lou Gehrig.
So, well, okay, you've lived here your whole life.
Uh-huh.
And how did you get started in TV?
I guess maybe
the media.
Yeah. I went to Shasta High, worked on the student newspaper, the yearbook, went off to college with grand visions of being a writer and working in the newspaper business at the time. In fact, my first byline was in the Reading Record Searchlight many, many, many years ago. But when I went 1 year to Fresno State before I transferred back to Chico. When I went to Fresno, I couldn't get into the writing classes. They were all filled with upperclassmen, so there was openings available in a broadcasting class, so I just took that, and it was so much fun. I love shooting video, love being out, seeing people, talking to them, and shooting video, that I kind of got hooked right there. And then I just walked in the door at Channel 7 when I came back up here for my sophomore and the rest of my college career at Chico State. Walked in the door and said, hey, can I do anything? I'll do it for nothing.
How long ago was that now?
Wow, 1975, 4, 5 probably. Yeah,
wow.
Somewhere in there,
yeah.
Yes.
A lot of people don't realize is that coming in and saying, I'll do it for free. I just want to learn, and I want to learn the correct way, and I want to show you how I can work, is, you know, that's not a bad way to break into the media.
No.
End of it.
They're happy to get the free labor, and I absolutely had a great time. I was still living in Chico, going to school there, so I would shoot, and I did sports for many, many years. I shot a lot of ball games in Chico on film and sent the film up here to be developed and then to go on the air. So I did that while I was in school.
Okay, and then after school?
I worked in radio for about 6 months. There was a station. It was KSXO 600. I did news there. Right. I mean, I had great plans to go on a post-graduation trip to Mexico and just hang out for a while. But they hired me before I even got out of school. I had to take my finals, like driving back and forth quickly to Chico. So I worked there for about 6 months until Channel 7 had an opening in Chico, so then I was like the Chico reporter for Channel 7 in Reading in Chico, and kind of st- stayed there for a couple
I'm
of years.
I'm a K6O alumnus, and when I say Quonset Hut, big there spiders, you know exactly
what
I'm talking
exactly
about.
I know exactly what you're talking about, yeah. The Quonset Hut, no longer there.
Okay, so and so as we move forward in it, mm-hmm. I mean, changes. I know, I mean, you start, you know, 1975, 76, somewhere around in that era.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, the type of reporting back then, is it different than it is now?
It's more conscientious, I think. We take more time to make sure we get it right. Back then, there was, I think it was a four-person staff. There was a news person, a sports guy, a weather person, and one reporter here, and then me and Chico. So it was a five-person staff. So, and you still had to fill an hour of news. So, I mean, it was kind of catch as catch can and run around. You didn't do a lot of time checking facts. You couldn't spend a lot of time doing that because you just had to, like, it was volume. It was definitely quantity over quality, I think.
Quantity. So it was. So some of the stories might have been, as you look back now, go, wow, how'd that happen?
Well, yeah, and not so much in the way of making mistakes as much as just not being able to really make sure about things, and also just kind of some of the stories that you cover. It's like, you got to fill this hour of news every night, you know, feed the beast, and so you're, you know.
Puff pieces.
There you go.
Yeah.
Anything to fill the newscast. Sometimes you're thinking, gosh, what am I going to shoot today?
Is this like where you see the guy out at the turkey farm on Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
And the turkeys are just taking him apart. Yeah, you see that? Okay, well now, okay, we fast forwarded up to now, and we're going to probably go back and forth a few times.
Sure.
But now, with the news, things have changed.
Well, the staff is much bigger. We take a lot more care with what we do. There's more, what would I say, administration. I mean, like I said at the time, there were five people when I started off. Now, I mean, we have a news director, producers for all the shows, an assistant news director, the reporters. So it's a much bigger product, and there's a lot more. It used to be we'd come in, okay, what stories can we shoot today? Now we have a morning meeting. We decide what are the stories that we want to shoot today. Everybody sits down, pitches a story or more, decide which stories we're going to cover, how we're going to cover them, and then that can change throughout the day as different circumstances happen. Maybe the story isn't exactly what you thought it was. Maybe all of a sudden there's a breaking news story, so you drop what you're doing and you go do that one.
Do you find that some stories that you think are going to be a real barn burner turn into not?
Yeah, and vice versa. I mean, you never know for sure. I mean, some things you want to do a story on the city council or whatever, you kind of know that's what you're going to get. But there are other times where people will get emails now more than anything, some phone calls, but more than emails, it seems, with people with something that's happened to them, and they either build it up or say it's less than what it really is. But you know, then you check on it and go from there.
Yeah, you know, we get phone calls, of course, but we get just tons of emails and chat. People get into mm-hmm. the chat room, and the questions coming across there are, you know, ones that we ask our guest.
Yeah,
usually, and some of them you look at it and they're but the questions, I would say, for gosh, 95% of the time are just really good questions. A lot of them we don't even get a chance to ask,
mm-hmm.
Depending on what the subject is, of course. Hey, our guest is Mike Mangus from KCNR, but KRCR, News Channel 7.
You can say 7R if you want.
Okay.
You'll sound like an old-timer 7,
okay,
here.
Yeah, 7R, yeah. Mike from 7R. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back. We're going to talk, you know, what he sees going on here in the future with TV and local, especially in the local community. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, Carl and Linda Bott. Hey, we're streaming at KCNR 1460, as many of you all know. There's a lot of stuff going on there. Now, our phone lines here are 605-4567, 822 in the morning, December the 13th, 2010. Quickly approaching the end of this year. And is everybody ready for Christmas? Our guest, Mike Mangus from 7R.
There you
so
go.
I can be like one of the old guys here. Hey, one of the questions, Mike, it's been... There's a lot of things going on in the chat room.
I don't know if I want to see that or
not. Well, you know, they're talking personalities now, so stop it, you guys. No, what it is how come seminar doesn't break in for if, like for breaking news with fires and things like
that. We do on occasion. If it's a big fire, certainly when they're of impact to a lot of the community. And I guess I should say the community for us is far beyond Redding and Shasta County. I mean, our signal goes to Yreka, almost to, Oregon, and then south past Willows and Orville, down like to Williams and Lassen County to the east and Trinity County to the west. Yep. So a breaking news story that might seem important in one place has very little to no impact in a lot of the other areas. I mean, we get that question a lot. Well, why do you cover Chico news? Well, because our signal goes there, and this is called the Chico Redding market for television. So they're a part of us, and vice versa. Somebody living in Redding might say, "Well, who cares about the thing in Chico?" And somebody in Chico would say, "Who cares about the thing in Redding?" But so we have to kind of keep all of that in mind. So it would have to be something pretty major. I mean, if there's something that affects traffic in a big way, if the freeway shuts down or whatever, we do something, things like that, then we do break in. Or we run a crawl, the words go streaming across the bottom of the screen.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, I think is probably the worst thing that's ever been invented, is the crawl, or things that people will be watching something on TV, and all of a sudden there's this picture down on the right-hand corner of something.
Are you talking about a bug in that case? Crawl is just the text.
Well, I know, but either one. I mean, if it's like a big emergency, okay. But, I mean, everything goes across there when you're watching. I mean, so you end up reading it, and then you miss what's going on, so, or vice versa. Okay, get past that. Okay, now, when you started, you were Mr. Sports.
I did news for a little while two or three or four years or something. And then I did sports for more than 20 years and just enjoyed it. It was just a wonderful time. There was a much greater emphasis on sports then than there is now. And my kids were young. They were growing up. I got to cover them, watch them as they competed in sports. I mean, it was really fun to have half the basketball team at your house on Thursday night for pizza, and then go out and watch them play, the next night, on Friday night. But then sports now has become much lower on the food chain of broadcasting, local TV broadcasting.
To the community's detriment.
A matter of opinion, I guess. It certainly doesn't appear to have affected the ratings a lot. I mean, we don't do very much sports now, and there's very little to no, outcry. Like, where's the sports? Where's the sports? The thought is, nationally, places like ESPN can supply everything that you need.
So is that what's thought at the local level too? Is that we don't really need this because they can get it they can't get it anyplace else.
Well,
the local stuff.
The conundrum there is they being like consultants who now run the world for better or worse. Consultants say if you're going to do sports, do local sports. Of course, if you're going to do local sports, then you have to devote the resources to do it. And if you don't have the resources, you can't. So, I mean, literally, we have one sports person now. And there was a time when back in the day, when we had maybe five or at least three full-time and a couple part-time.
I've got a great definition of a consultant, but they pulled a license after I gave it. It's a story about a consultant and a sheep farmer. Anyway, the thing about that is you all are really our local TV. That's it. I mean, anything that you all cover, and even though, yes, it's Chico, but Chico still, and then you're going up north and south. So I can see that, where it's, especially if you love sports, that, local sports is, you've got a sports reporter that comes in that does stories during the weekend
and a little bit during the week, but not a lot. Yeah.
Right. How that can, and I wonder about that, because when you'll see people complaining that there's not enough sports, and things you see written and all that, and so I was just wondering, how sports has just gone away.
Well, I can only go to the research that we're told is that, I don't know what percentage, but it's high, 50% or more of viewers don't care about sports at all, don't even care. Then of the other 50%, some do, some don't care that much about local sports. I mean, we got an email a while ago from somebody who was like from Chicago, and it's like, why don't you cover the Bears and the because we can't cover every team from every city in the country. I mean, somebody from Denver could say, why don't you cover the Broncos? There's not enough time, and we wouldn't want to take the effort to do something like that.
Well, now, and two, you're competing against 833 channels. That some of them, I mean, that's what they do.
At least.
You know, so what is it that you all do? You've got to do something that's better than anybody else to have them look at you.
It has to be local. You can't get Shasta Enterprise highlights on ESPN. So
that's right.
That's what you have to do.
Okay. You know, one of the other questions that came in and about technology. Mm-hmm. Now, we've got like 3 minutes left here, but the impact of technology on journalism.
Mm-hmm.
When you first started, that you didn't have like computers in everybody's desk, you didn't have iPads.
No.
Did you have phone? You didn't have cell phones?
No cell phones.
Nothing. Anything like that.
No.
So, impact.
Here's the. When I started off, I shot film in Chico, had to put it on the Greyhound bus for it to come to Reading, to get to Reading to be developed probably for the next day's news. It was not that, which, you know, the old saying, film at 11, that was like a big deal if you had film from today, actually on today. That was like a big thing. So, yeah, it's changed tremendously and continues to change as we sort of evolve toward more Internet-based things now. I mean, it's all pointing in that direction.
When you say evolving toward internet-based things, you mean pulling stuff directly off the internet? Can you do that? Can you pull things directly off the internet?
Technologically speaking, we can.
Right.
Of course, there's licensing involved in some cases,
sure.
But I think like places like YouTube are kind of free form. You can take what you want. Not that we would do that because that's not really local either. I mean, we
right.
take things occasionally, but. Just in the way that we cover things now, it's just like the newspapers. I think someday we're all going to end up the same, actually. They're just coming at it from a print perspective. We're coming at it from a video perspective.
Yeah, you know what? I think you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. I think the Internet is where everybody's going to be going.
It's on demand. People just don't want to sit down at night and watch the news.
Well, here's the thing, too, is that they asked young first-year college students this year, and we're getting ready to take a break, how much did you use email? And a lot of them said they don't use it because it's too slow. Email is too slow. And why? Because they got it right in their hands. They have the iPods. They've got the phones. They've got who knows what else, iPads. And the Internet is too slow because they have to go someplace.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Carl Underbot. Join us after the news. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 8:34 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. DC and Tim and Mysterious Man in Black give great haircuts, great prices. If you're a veteran, you get a discount.
I think
right
my son, one of my sons, gets his haircut there all the time. He loves those guys.
Aren't they great?
Yeah.
I mean, they are. And, you know, man's last stronghold.
Yeah.
When you go in there, don't worry about seeing Oprah or Dr. Phil on the TV. It'll never happen.
Yeah.
And don't ask for something like, oh, hey, can somebody look at my toes? Yeah, they will. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's Cypress Square Barbershop. Great prices, great haircuts, discounts for veterans. And they love this community. They support this community. I heartily recommend them. Okay, guest is Mike Mangus from 7R. I can say that because now I'm one of the guys in the know.
You sound like an old-timer.
An old-timer, yeah. Oh, been going on 4 years, maybe three. Hey, let's go to the phones. John, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Bad Bob. And, of course, Mike Mangus, how are you this morning?
Hi, John. Good. How are you doing?
Mike, I haven't seen you in a long time. I met you many years ago out at Whiskeytown Lake when you were still doing the sports, and you were out covering fishing on Whiskeytown, and it was very nice to see you out there.
Well, thanks. The good old days. I wish I was still out there fishing.
Okay. Just as an aside, you were talking about a joke about consultants, Carl. Consultant is an unemployed person with a client. Now,
my story's a lot better than that.
I'll bet it is, but you can't tell yours. Mike, what I'd like to ask you,
and this
is just totally an arbitrary, off-the-wall question. I like Channel 7 News. I watch it, you know, it seems like all the time, in the morning and in the evening. My question is, why is there so much weather coverage? Is it just filler? I mean, I know the weather's important, but do we really need it reported five times in a 30-minute segment?
That first part that you said about the consultant, John?
Yes. There you go.
That's honestly the truth. weather is thought to be very, very important. And so we do a lot of weather. And again, just like the demise of sports, the increase in weather, it seems to be working from a ratings point of view. I mean, our ratings, knock on Formica, are very good, and a lot of that is being attributed to our increased weather coverage.
And, well, and John, not to disagree on this thing, but when I look at it, if I miss the weather, I know it's only going to be like another 10 minutes or so before I get it again. I know that sounds funny, but when you're trying, especially in the morning.
Hey, weather affects everyone, or at least everybody experiences weather, and so you wouldn't believe the crazy emails and calls that our chief meteorologist Mike Kruger gets as far as it's. Especially Shingletown. I'm not picking on Shingletown, but there's quite a difference in elevation from the top of Shingletown to the bottom. And he'll say it's, whatever, it's 40 degrees in Shingletown. And, two people will call and say, no, it's not. It's 32. No, it's not. It's 58. And they all might be right in the sense that where they are, and they consider themselves Shingletown. So there are people out there who are very, very passionate about weather. I just kind of look out the window and say, oh, that's what it is today.
We have our weather rock right here.
There you go.
I'm glad that they have the weather. I just think the redundancy just seems overwhelming sometimes. It seems like there's nothing else on but weather on the news, and I'd like to hear some news.
I certainly you're not alone in that that point of view.
It looks like the chat room's agreeing with you there, John.
Listen, I'm going to bail. Thanks, guys. Have a great day. And, Mike, I'm glad you're on television. Carl, I'm glad you're on the radio.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot there, John.
Talk to you guys later.
Thank you, John.
Hey, Mike, first of all, for all of our listeners out there and for the chat room, is you all are chatting so fast, and there's so much that's going through. If I'm not looking at it every second, which I can't do, I am missing some of the questions. But we did address the part about why they don't break in on the news all the time, because they go statewide.
Yeah.
The other thing too is investigative reporting.
That is just kind of a limitation of our staff size. I mean, as I said earlier about feeding the beast, every day we fill an hour and a half in the evening from 5 to 6 and 6:30 to 7, and we try to do as much local as we can. And investigative reporting can take a lot of time and may not lead you anywhere ultimately. So we don't have a lot of time to just put somebody on a story for several days or a week or whatever and end up with just 1 2-minute story. I mean, we need like 1 2-minute story out of that person every day to help fill the time.
Well, and that's it. There was other comments about that too, but because there's a lot of different, I know you'd like to get into them, but again, it's limitations.
Yeah, I would like to. I would very much like to do more, not myself or myself as well as others, let them be able to do investigative things, but there's just not the time to really do that.
Okay, before we take our break, you ever thought about something like 7 on your side?
Yes, we've done things like that. I don't even know if we've actually called it that or not, but we don't do many like what they call franchise stories where you have to do it every day or every once a week, every Thursday or whatever. We don't do a whole lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
So we do it. We just don't call it anything.
Okay. Know? All right. Yeah, I
advocating
can understand
for
that.
Somebody for some reason or another. We do quite a few stories like that, but
you just don't call it specifically that. Yeah. Okay. Hey, we've got to take a break here. Our guest is Mike Mangus from 7R. Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio. People on the line will get to you as soon as we get back here. DNR 1460, Carl and Linda Bott. Linda has got no voice this morning. None. And so it's kind of a detriment when you come in here. She just sits here and she looks at me. She nudges me. She writes me notes. She bit me once. Okay? So, time is 8:44. It is December the 13th. We're quickly running out of time before Christmas. And this portion of the show is brought to you by BNT Satellite out on Airport Road. Doug Tooley is a local guy that puts in dish satellite. He guarantees his work. He's got rebates right now to get you free dish satellite with HD if you give him a call at 244-1988. Talk to Heather or Doug, and they'll get you scheduled. I know a lot of people are doing that. So that's BNT Satellite. We use them. We're very, very happy with the service. Our guest, Mike Mangus from KRCR-TV, 7R.
There you go.
And we've got people on the line. Jim. Good morning. Jim.
Yes.
You're on, Jim. Good morning.
Hey, Good morning, Mike. Hey, the thing that I travel the North State here quite a bit, and I get out here in the outlying areas, and the people when you tell people to dress warmly, put on a coat or something like that, the people are screaming at the TV and saying, if you haven't got enough sense to dress right, you don't need to go out and freeze to death.
I can't argue with you, Jim. We do that sometimes, and I wonder why as well. I mean, I guess there are people that have just moved to the area or something. I know sometimes we warn people to stay cool when it's 100 degrees, and, you know, a lot of people here are pretty used to that in the summertime. And so, you know, occasionally we put it in there, hopefully not too much or all the time. But, yeah, when it's bad weather, carry change in your car. It seems to me to be pretty common sense, but maybe people need to be told that anymore. I don't know.
Well, I think what happens is people start relying on it too much, and then they get out and break down with, well, they didn't tell me, you know.
Yeah. And then we get blamed.
Yeah, next thing is a lawsuit. They didn't tell me to bring change in the mountains where there's snow.
Yeah, I mean, leave a number so they'd call you up to bring the chains out to them or something, you know.
Okay. Hey, Jim, thanks a lot for your phone call.
You bet. Thank you.
You bet. You know, I tell you sometimes why I say things like that is because I've got 10 seconds left to a break or 15 seconds, and it's like, okay, let's fill this one up.
Yeah.
We're getting, again, lots of comments. So they're good comments, by the way. You know, when I say we're getting comments, that a lot of people are interested in the news and in you and what's going on. Somebody said something about a story about an elk.
The only thing I can think of is, gosh, many, many years ago.
They said it several years ago.
I did a story on this elk, what they call him, Old Eye Guard, and he ended up dying, but it was kind of a touching story, and he was called Eye Guard. He had these big eye guards on his antlers, and he had just huge antlers, and that's about all that I remember from the story, to be honest. But it was a neat story. I do remember that. It was kind of a cool story.
Yeah. Okay, we've just got a few minutes left here. Future. What do you see the future of TV and especially local community TV?
I think that we are going to end up the same way as the newspaper. We have to, like, write stories more now for the Internet in more of a newspaper style, and I see the newspaper with people out with video cameras. I think we're all going to end up the same, all on the Internet and all doing the exact same thing, just coming at it from different vantage points, one from video, more one from print.
Well, then throwing up the show on the Internet.
Immediately, everything's got to be on demand. People just, they want it, and they want it now. It's not like you're going to wait until the 6 o'clock news sort of thing. They want to see what's going on now.
Well, our archives always go up, you know, as soon as we can after that, within a couple hours, if somebody hasn't turned the sound off on the archive machine, which has happened once. But you're right, you know, I mean, it's people we reach. In the Czech Republic, Paris, France, Nova Scotia. I mean, you don't expect to be hearing those people call in or write to you and all that, but it happens.
Boy, I feel international. That's pretty cool.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing I can get stories from you all on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, on the front page of Yahoo, the way it's set up, it'll be a story, and I can just click on it and go right to you guys.
Oh, nice.
So, I mean, and that's an automatic somehow. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how that happened,
but
it's under news.
Ah, all right. That seems to be where everything is headed. Right.
Okay, well, look, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll finish up this segment. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
No, you can stand me up.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, 8:51 in the morning, December 13th. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest walk-in humidor in the state. Great coffee at Espresso Joe's. And Joe and Shelley, you know, you can't say enough about these two that support our community and our veterans as well as they do. They also have a meeting room there that they open up free to the public. It's got free Wi-Fi. You can get your coffee, walk across, you know, just go next door, sit down. And sit there and peruse through your computer. Listen to us as we stream every day, right here, of course.
Right.
And just you know, it's just great Americans helping our community. That's Tobacco and Brew. Our guest, Mike Mangus from KRCR TV Channel 7, or as they said in the old days,
7R.
And that was done because the Channel 7 from San Francisco was on the cable here at the time, and so they wanted to make the differentiation between the 7 in the Bay Area and Channel 7 in Redding.
Well,
7R.
7R.
Many, many years.
Okay, the you know, one of the things that people have talked about in the chat room is that we see people here and then they move on. And you and I talked just a little bit about it during a break.
Yeah, this is, generally speaking, the reporters that come to town are either fresh out of school or out of college, or maybe it's their second job if they work in a very, very small place like Eureka or somewhere like that, but a very small place. And they are here for maybe 2 years. They learn more about what it is they should be doing, and then generally they move on because the bigger the city you go to, the more money you can make, and they can actually make a living at some level. And so it's you know, it's earn while you learn, while you're here for the most part.
Oh, yeah, and so you can expect to see some people 2 or 3 years, but and then you've got, and then you have, well, you told me also, you said you almost feel like a teacher here.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think anybody who's been there for a considerable length of time, Jennifer or me or some others as well, it, yeah, you're every day you're trying to teach these young reporters how to do the job right. And so, yes, they make mistakes, but then they learn, and hopefully. And if they don't, then they're not here for that long of a time.
Then you don't see them after a while.
Yes, right. Yes. So, yeah, that's part of life in a city the size of Reading. I mean, some people who move here from, you know, the retirees or whatever, I mean, some people are very complimentary, and others are, you know, why is the news the way it is here when it was so good back in the Bay Area? Well, there's a lot of people and a lot of dollars difference.
About a $12 million difference there, probably,
yeah,
right?
Between here and there.
In the pay, the pay structure.
Yes.
Okay, the you've been here for a long time. How much, I mean, when we were talking, you love it here, and you're not leaving.
No. Grew up here, was very fortunate to raise our kids here as well, and we're also very fortunate that as of this moment anyway, they're all still in town, so it's very nice to have everybody home. But yeah, just love the area, love the outdoors, the, you know, the rivers and the mountains, and the I spent a couple of summers back in the day before I went to college, like in high school, literally living in the woods in Trinity County, working in the woods and living, and just loved it. Just can't, no place else I'd rather be. Not that I've really been any place else, but there's no place else that I want
to
be.
Well, I tell you what, Linda and I have been all over the world. You know, I've lived in other countries. I've traveled through other countries, some good, some bad. And we decided to stay here. We decided to make Reading our home. So it's perfectly understandable to me.
Yeah.
Why you're here.
Yeah.
And I can see why other people may leave. But I also talk to a lot of younger people that have come back here.
That if they can find work. Yeah, that's it. And that's been, you know, the constant problem here is just being able to get the employment for these, so we don't lose all these bright young minds to other places.
Well, you've been here for a long time. You've covered a lot of stories. What do you think of the future of Reading here? We're in the middle of doldrums right now, but
I'm an optimist. You know, I think that we will see a turnaround, but it just seems like it's going to take a long time. It just seems like it's going to be incremental and take a long time. But eventually, yeah, we've had times like this before, maybe not this severe, but we've had times like this before where not much going on. There's just a lull for a while, but then it will pick up again, and I have no doubt that it will do the same. I'm just not sure exactly when.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's everything we get from people.
Yeah.
The car industry is looking another 3 or 4 years down the road. I don't know how long it's going to take for the housing market to catch up again.
Yeah.
Do you think another university here? Think that will ever happen?
Probably not in my lifetime, but someday. You know, as it continues, the area continues to grow. But yeah, I just several years ago it was between us and Modesto, I think, and Modesto ended up getting a university. I think it was Merced, Modesto, somewhere down in the San Joaquin Valley.
Okay.
Was chosen instead, and I've heard nothing about any plans to build anything here now.
Yeah, I know. It's, you know, just even the building funds they're talking about is,
yeah.
You know, I was surprised that they followed through with the veterans home. I'm so happy they did.
Yeah,
because
me too.
Things are so tough about, you know, at the state level.
Yeah.
I know that one of the things that you've talked about is as a newscaster and being here, is that you want people to make up their own minds.
Yes, I very much believe that. I kind of came upon this revelation late in life, as far as I like to tell stories. I just like to tell the story and try to tell it as fairly as possible to both sides, and then let people decide if it's some, you know, controversial type issue. Let them decide, you know, what they think about it. And
yeah, because soon, you know what, as soon as you make that decision to lean it or to say something, mm-hmm. you've lost your objectivity, yeah, as far as people are mm-hmm. concerned.
We can't do that in local TV news. We've got to stay as objective as humanly possible.
Well, you know, and it's funny, people know who I am and what I think about a lot of things, because I tell you. But that's because it's commentary. You know, mm-hmm. the one thing that we really pride ourselves on is, one, we want this station to be a community voice. You know, we have all different types of shows on, local mm-hmm. shows. But during the elections, trying to, you know, give everybody a fair chance of being on here, and never once endorsing anybody, never once, you know, trying not ever once to cross a line with people, but to ask the questions that we get from our listeners
mm-hmm.
for the people. So I applaud you for that, because it's hard to do sometimes.
Well, it's what you have to do. There's too much at stake there to not just be as objective as possible.
Okay, the things in the chat room, Bob, it looks like they're talking about going into the service.
Investigative reporting.
Oh, investigative reporting, yeah.
Labor intensive, very expensive.
Yeah,
right. Absolutely.
In my view, the purview of the grand jury.
Well, that's a
good
point.
In many cases.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, last thoughts, Mike, before we have to pull out of here.
Carl, my first and last thought is congratulations on your anniversary tomorrow. I'm very excited for you. Well, 1 year.
Well, thank you. You know
that's
what?
Great.
You know, you were here probably on our first day or within our first week,
yes,
there,
yeah,
and had us on, and you know, thank you very much for that. We
yeah.
appreciated that.
Yeah, not that I didn't think you would make it a year, but I'm very glad that you're doing well.
Well, if you look around here, you'll see. Don't cut the red wire. That's still up there. That was here the very first day because somebody cut the red wire, and we were off for a while.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Mike, it has been my pleasure to know you these many years and to call you a colleague and friend.
Well, thanks, Bob. It's been great to be asked to come in here today, and I don't know that I shed any particular light on anything, but I'm happy to have been asked to be here.
Well, you know what? You're part of our lives here mm-hmm. in the North State, and we want to have people on here that have been part of our lives. Hey, tomorrow is our first anniversary. We've got a number of people on. Congressman Herter is going to call in. Among some other people, we're going to have just have kind of a thank you very much for listening to us today.
Cool.
This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.